Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good? It's Skyline time.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
They're here. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. Joined, as always, in Hour 3 by Casey Bubba at BDentric. Bubba, what is going on, man?
Not much, my friend. Just another beautiful, beautiful day, beautiful week in the books. I'm just loving life. Baseball's kicking right along. We got golf. So much fun.
So much fun. Well, give us a golf update. I have not been paying attention. Who won the last one we did?
The Open Championship. The winner was one Colin Morikawa, who is this young stud, his first time playing in the British Open. Most debutants don't win their first time there. It's his second major. The dude is a beast. He played at Cal Berkeley. He's just awesome. And most did not expect him to play that well this past week at a major like this over in wonderful Sandwich, England. So that was pretty awesome stuff. Brooks Koepka, I think he finished top five or pretty darn close. He had a horrible Saturday, but the rest of the tournament was great. Sunday, he played really well. Bryson, as we should say, didn't matter because, genius couldn't hit a driver. And I kind of talked about it last week, how he talked trashed about his Cobra reps. And then Brooks decided to, it was really fun on Friday after Brooks made the cut. He got interviewed and he said, hitting the driver really well today, really loving my driver. So he made a point about that. And then he also made a point to put on Instagram. He put a picture of him hitting his driver and said, driving into the weekend at the Open Championship. So the troll game of Brooks Koepka is one that I absolutely respect.
I don't respect most trolls, but this one, like at such a high professional level, to because everyone's in on the joke. It's not just one person. You know what I mean? That is good enough. I mean, I think how much longer can this go on before it gets old, do you think?
You keep thinking it's over, and then Bryson does something stupid again, and Brooks just goes, oh, thanks for the freaking ball. I'm going to go hit this out of the ballpark again. It's just like, it's almost like he's not even trying.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As a season shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Bryson just doesn't
right. Fit. It's running out of gas. It's running out of gas. And here comes, you know, he's the gas plane that meets you in, you know, the one you
he
had
found,
to do in top.
He found the mushroom on Mario Kart and got sped up.
That's a way more relevant video game thing than mine. I'm like, hey, remember Top Gun in the 80s? But we got to take a break. When we come back, we got way more for you. So stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This league.
Because who could be scared of it?
In this league.
Yeah, just this nice bloke from down the road, isn't he?
What's wrong with you?
Hello, I'm...
In this league.
I've just moved in. My wife has got varicose veins.
I'm having a heart attack. Having a heart attack.
You're not having an heart attack.
Welcome back, everybody. In this league on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. You can follow us, myself, Bogman, at Bogman Sports. Bubba at BDantric on the Twitter machine. And Bubba, please tell everyone where they can find all your great stuff and things all around the interwebs.
Yeah, I got the Benched with Bubba podcast doing fantasy baseball twice a week, so come check that out. On Thursday, this past Thursday, I had Ryan Roof from RotoWire on the show to talk some, you know, potential relievers to pick up due to the trade deadline coming up. So that'll be kind of fun stuff there. And the Line Star DFS podcast with you yourself, yours truly. And we'll have football coming up as well. I also do a golf podcast, the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. I have written content at rotoballer.com and at Fantasy Sports Degens. And I'm probably missing, the Fantasy Black Book, which I already know is going to be coming around the corner here as you got the football one out and about for you. So follow me on Twitter at BDentric, and I'll tweet out everything there so you can check out all the stuff and things.
Yeah, we had a Black Book reunion for Mock Draft 6.0 on the In This League Fantasy Football podcast this week. Joe Pisapia joined us looking real tan. He's definitely summertime vibes for Joey. So, but that was a lot of fun doing that mock with him. It was super flex for those of you that are interested.
I thought you were gonna say Joey was super flexed, but then I got it. Okay, yeah. I could see him literally sitting there on the screen the whole time.
I mean, it is PCPS, so yeah. I mean, you know, that is just we're. I'm just happy he didn't do it shirtless, so we're fine. Joe's in great
shape. Are you really happy though?
I am. I'm happy that he didn't do it. So, but let's talk some baseball. And look, we don't have to dive too deep into it because the Welsh and I talked about it. And this is so funny. The Welsh and I usually do our show a couple hours before you and I record this hour three. We had to do it a day before today because he had some stuff going on. But when we recorded, Yermin Mercedes had retired, you know, took to Instagram. It's over. He did the weird post and all the cryptic stuff, if there's one thing I hate more than anything, it is cryptic posting on social media. Just like, that's what it's there for. Like, your opinion may suck and you may offend a bunch of people, but at least I know what you're saying. You know what I mean? So cryptic stuff is just terrible to me. So he did one of those, and then said he was retiring, and Welsh and I talked about it a little bit. I said, look, I can't believe it's true. Like, maybe it's true for the rest of this year, but that paperwork hasn't been filed. None of that's happened. And I was kind of hoping it was true so I could use him as an example in fantasy baseball moving forward for guys having a hot 6 weeks. And then I was like, I just could have been, you know, Mercedes was the best player for 2 months and then retired, you know, but unfortunately, I guess, or fortunately, really fortunately, because kid's only 28, you know, you don't want to take his whole career away because he had a bad month. But anyway, he was back in the lineup the next night after announcing his retirement. So I know La Russa said he was going to contact him. I'm sure a bunch of other people did too, but looks like he's back in the fold and there's no issues here.
Yeah, apparently there's nothing. It was weird because, like you said, he had the Instagram post basically saying, I'm done. He unfollowed everything related to the Chicago White Sox that he followed on Instagram. So like all the trails that you see come like trade deadline and stuff he did for retirement. So I was hoping that wouldn't be the case because it'd just be another reason to hate drunk Uncle Tony for what he's done, because he basically ruined that kid ever since he went yabo on a 14-run game off an outfielder. But
A 3-0 count can't be swinging.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Break. He was even downhill from there. But what I was kind of worried about is when I sat back and thought about it after I tweeted like my normal I hate Tony La Russa things. But I was like, I wonder how is Yermin like mentally there right now? That's what I was more worried about. That's what I was kind of concerned about. Was it a mental thing? Like, is he just having like a meltdown? Like, let's go look out for the kid and see how he's going. But he's in the lineup the next day, like you said, which is great. He'll be up with the team again sometime later this year, especially because no one can stay healthy. So they're going to need him eventually, and that battle come in handy. So, yeah, it's good to see him back out there. He's young. He's fun. I've heard other people talk about how much of a great person and player he is and how much he loves the game. So the game needs him, and Yermin needs the game. So.
Right. And, you know, his teammates came to his defense, which is, you know, kind of the marker. You can tell he's clearly a good dude. When the teammates come to defend you, when your manager is throwing you under the bus, you know, that guy is liked in the clubhouse. So and Tony even talked about that. You know, we can give Tony all kinds of crap. The White Sox are still in first place, you know, so that they've been looking good even throughout all these injuries. So he is doing something right there, and we do have to acknowledge that. But and even Tony was saying, like, this is probably just frustration. So we'll get him talked to, and luckily they did, and everything is good there. In other baseball news here, and you live in this area ish, but I want to talk about what is going on with this Oakland ballpark, because you know, we saw the Raiders move out of Oakland. It seemed like the A's, things were getting contentious earlier in the year. You know, baseball instructed the A's to look for new venues in other cities for possible relocation, because their lease, I believe, is up in 2 or 3 years at the Coliseum. The Coliseum is an asshole. Like, there's no way to sugarcoat that. They may have fixed it up and maybe better now, but we know that they've had, you know, sewage back up into the locker room at this into place.
The dugouts. It's bad.
It's a football stadium that has baseball in it. And, you know, I think even if you just wanted to repurpose this stadium to fit for baseball and change a bunch of stuff in the offseason, that would be better than what they have going on now. But then I guess the city of Oakland, the city council approved a $12 billion proposal without the A's input at all, which I thought is hilarious. It's just like, you know what? We'll go ahead and approve this. And if you do all of this stuff for the community too, A's, we will let you have your stadium. And the A's are like, yeah, we can't afford to do that. So, so it's getting real weird. What do you hear in your neck of the woods about this?
That's always been the problem. Like, there's been proposals over in Jack London Square, which would be an outstanding location for it. There's like bars, there's the water, there's like a cool little area over there. That'd be phenomenal. But then they didn't have the funding, or they didn't have this or that. Well, now they have this quote unquote funding, this $12 billion thing, but it's not really there. Like, it acts like it is. Like you said, the A's got to check off all the boxes. The A's, that's been the problem all the time, is the A's have not been able to check off any boxes. So I think in the end, it's Vegas. It feels like Vegas is where they're going. That's what's going to happen unless a massive Hail Mary takes place. Like, I guess the city council made the first positive step that they've made in this in a long, long time. But like you said, the fact that they did it without even consulting the A's and all this other stuff, it makes it hard to believe it's actually going to hold up. And that's what's going to make it very complicated. So if I'm an A's fan, I'm still not holding my breath in this situation. Like, Jack London would have been absolutely amazing. Like, I'm really bummed that didn't happen. Maybe it still will, but I don't think it will. It feels like the A's are leaving town. So
that named after the author Jack London?
Yes.
Oh, nice. I had no idea.
I'm 99% sure. So, somebody might tell me I'm an idiot, which I've been told many times. So I could be wrong, but I'm pretty positive. I've been down there many times and had many a beverage. And there's like a little old theater down the road. We've seen concerts in.
Is there a bar named the White Fang? I mean, that would be pretty.
I think
pretty,
so, but it's awesome. It's outside bars, inside bars. It's just a badass place. It'd be a phenomenal place to put a ballpark. Like people could ferry in almost like it's a San Francisco type same setup and everything. And it'd be nice, better than where they are.
I think it's so funny that the Oakland City Council said, hey, look, if you guys can pay this, whatever, $12 billion, we'll do it. They literally made a movie about how cheap the A's franchise is and how cheap ownership is there. Like, they changed the whole face of baseball to try to work around being cheap. So there was a whole movie for it.
Did they not remember what they offered Marcus Semien for a contract last offseason? These guys aren't spending money.
And look, and I know these people will say, well, you know, all these owners are billionaires. Why can't they help out? But sure, they probably could.
In a perfect world, yes.
But we know a lot of these owners are cheap, and the A's have done it for years and years and years and years. So why would they all of a sudden fork over all of this money? I mean, you know, a new ballpark would go a long way as to having them make some money and spend some. But, you know, Vegas will pay for it. So they're going to go to Vegas. I mean, it's pretty clear at this point. So hopefully not. Like, I'm not willing it.
Yeah, I don't want them to. Like, the fan base that does show up, like the 3,000 fans that show up, are awesome.
Right.
But it's tough when no one goes. Like, on a Sunday, they had like 8,000 fans.
But the Raiders left. The Warriors left. A's are the last show in town. Probably going to go, too. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about some trades. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Welcome back, everybody, in this league on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. Please check out our Patreon if you would. Patreon.com/ITL Army, where we've got all kinds of goodies for you over there. Updated fantasy football rankings. I'll be updating them this week again. There's just been so much movement with the Cam Akers injury and stuff like that. I'm going to repost some new rankings, so they'll be brand new on Monday. For everybody, got IDP rankings over there, Dynasty, first-year player draft, all kinds of good stuff for you as far as football goes. The Welsh has all of his baseball rankings over there, specifically his over 500 minor leaguers ranked for fantasy list is up there too. So please check that out if you would. We have group me rooms for you to talk to the whole In This League community every single day. We talk about all kinds of different stuff, and it's a lot of fun. So please check it out if you would. Bubba, we did get a trade finally before recording this way earlier today, but Nelson Cruz got flipped to the Rays. So pretty decent deal, I thought. He's on a one-year deal. The Twins aren't going anywhere. And I know he loves playing in Minnesota, but he can go sign back there after this offseason. And, you know, I think it worked out for everyone, but it's probably the first domino to fall. So tell us about this Cruz trade and if you like it for Tampa Bay. And then, or if it's going to be frustrating because they screw with the lineup all the time. And then tell us what other guys you are looking forward to getting dealt at this trade deadline here.
Yeah, I think it's great for Tampa Bay. It shows they're going for it. They actually had to give up a couple pitchers. One, Joe Ryan, who I'm not an expert prospect. Welsh would be much better to ask about this, but what I've seen so far is actually a pretty good get for Minnesota. Like, it's definitely going to be a help for them. The Rays always have an embarrassment of riches in the minor leagues, which is great, so they can afford it. But Cruz is a good pickup. It's a team that we know isn't the most powerful team. Like, you have a Rosarena, You have Meadows. You have a couple guys here and there without the most like consistent. They don't have like a 30 home run threat, which you get with Nelson Cruz the rest of the way. So that's going to be good. He also has that veteran leadership that any team can use. And that's going to be a good thing for them as they
make good drugs too.
Yeah, man, he's got that too. So those tight pants that Miguel Sano put on tonight. So lots of fun stuff there. I think it's a great move for the Rays. I think it's a good move for Minnesota. There's a lot more to come in Minnesota. I think the floodgates are about to open. Taylor Rogers, maybe even Hansel Robles will be gone. Buxton could be gone. Donaldson could be gone. Like
they set a price for Barrios today too. They said a major leaguer and a minor leaguer.
Yep. Giants. Farhan, give him a call, please.
Yeah.
The Twins on line one. So that's an option as well. But the Twins are about to go full fire sale, which makes sense. They haven't reloaded in a while, so it's about time to kind of start over. You still have Kirilloff. You still have Kalinic, and some other prospects. Royce Lewis and company down there. Get some arms to go with it. You could have some fun. So. It's a good move for both sides. Really good to see when it happens that way. Looking for some future moves. Like, I can't wait to see where Chris Bryant goes. That's going to be
I mean, the other day when he left with the hamstring, it was so funny. Every person on Twitter thought it was a trade. And I love Jeff Passan was like, it was just a hamstring pull, you heathens. It was one of his funnier tweets that he's ever had. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, so Chris Bryant will be a fun one because he can help a lot of different contenders out. So that'll be interesting to see where he lands. Because it's like, do you go get Chris Bryant or do you get Josh Donaldson? Now, Donaldson has another year on his deal, which is expensive. So the asking price might be a little different there, which makes it quite intriguing. You want to see where Trevor Story goes. Like the Yankees would be a phenomenal fit for Trevor Story. Or Oakland would be a great fit for Trevor Story. So those two could be some fun ones. And then, you got a bunch of pitchers here and there. Joseph Gallo is going to be one that terrifies me. Him and Starling Marte, those are two big time outfielders that can make
him massive. Marte's got to go. He's starting fights in the. Maybe not him starting.
I don't know if he started it. He was a part of it. So.
Right. Him and Monty Harrison had some dust up in the locker room the other day, and I was telling the guys in the ITL group me room the baseball room today that when we were at the Arizona Fall League game in the Fall Stars game a couple years ago. Monty Harrison was talking to us. You know, it was a bunch of us, Eno and Spore and Welsh and me and a bunch of people were there. And he was turned around and talked to us while he was on deck. So because we're talking about the radar gun had, I think it might have been Manoa. I can't remember who it was, but they had whoever the pitcher was at 104. And we're like, That's who it was.
Manoa,
it was
Pearson. Manoa wouldn't have been there yet, but I remember the year you guys were there, it'd be Pearson.
Right. It was Pearson. You're right. So, I think someone said, I think they got a hot gun. And Harrison turned around and said, it's not hot. He's like, that's legit. So, and who knows? That might have been BS, but he seemed like a super nice guy. So,
seems super nice. But as a friend of the ITL Army, Rob Silver, said on Twitter, it was very funny of him. With his Canadian humor, he said, well, the good thing for Starling Marte is if Harrison threw a punch, he obviously would have missed.
That's
pretty good.
Yep. I mean, Harrison does need to work on the K's a little bit.
Yeah, but I'd love to see Starling Marte. Like, he's leading. He has 17 stolen bases. The dude's got
power. Giants have been in rumors for him, right?
Yeah, Giants have been in rumors. Who I think the Giants should get besides what I want, like the perfect trade deadline for the Giants is give me Jose Barrios and give me Craig Kimbrell. Give me those
Barrios
two.
And Kimbrell.
Just load up that pitching staff. Give some more stability there. Let's rock and roll.
I mean, Kimbrell's 100% going to the Dodgers, right? I mean, Kenley.
That's what I'm terrified for.
The other day, they were booing him off the field. Like, yeah. Not good. But it seems pretty close to a lock to me that he's going there.
But there's like a lot of guys that don't seem like flashy plays, but like John Gray's, the Tyler Anderson, some of these kind of middling pitchers. They're going to be huge for a team going down the stretch. You got Richard Rodriguez is another closer. He's supposed to go to Toronto, it looks like. But the big dogs that everyone's waiting for, where's Chris Bryant going? Where's Trevor Story going? Where's Gallo and Marte going? I want these big bats, these different difference-making bats. Like, I don't think Max Scherzer gets traded. Like, that's all. You'd have to give me a King's ransom to trade Max Scherzer. I don't care what's going on.
He's a free agent after this year.
I get it, but, like, I'm not taking the Corey Kluber-type deals. Like, you still got to bring it. Like, I'm sorry. So we'll see how that goes. Because I'd hate to be the guy that walks in to go, Max, hey, pack your bags, you're leaving.
Right.
That would be fun.
Yeah. I would, it would, It'll never happen because it's an interdivision trade, but it'd be funny to see him go to Philly and then get in a fight with Joe Girardi day one. But
see, the Dodgers would make sense because they need pitching badly. They got pieces. Yeah,
Voldemort not coming back anytime soon, I guess. No, so.
Voldemort's not coming back. You never know how bad Kershaw's injury actually is. They got these young arms with Urias and company, even Gray.
And they got stuff to trade.
Yeah, they're limiting their innings anyway, so they need another workhorse, and there's no better workhorse in baseball pretty much than Max Scherzer. So
yeah, and you mentioned that too, like John Gray and Anderson and guys like this that are kind of, they're not flashy, they're middling, but
perfect for that stuff.
And what it does is, if you already have some frontline pitchers, you add someone that's better, and it does two things. Number one, you get a much better starter, which is going to help you tremendously, because you are now eating into your bullpen's innings, because they're not going to have to come out to replace whoever this guy you traded for. His spot that he's taking, and it helps everything as far as the pitching goes, because your bullpen gets a little bit of a breather, and you get a better guy on the bump every fifth day. So those moves are unbelievably underrated.
Oh yeah, the Giants have done those for years, and that's why Sarris like tempered my expectations. He's like, yeah, Berríos and Kimbrel will be great, but Farhan doesn't do that. He'll probably get a Gray or an Anderson, and he'll go get like a Richard Rodriguez or a Hansel Robles or a Ian Kennedy, one of these like cheaper guys that doesn't cost as much to still do the trick. That's what he'll do. And you're sitting there going, oh, this isn't great, but I've said that about a lot of things he's done, and look where we are now. So that's why I always say it's in Farhan we trust. Do what you got to do, big guy. Like, make it happen. The other guy that's not on that list, there's a few guys not on that list, but one that really stands out talking about John Gray's, where's Marquez go? That's a big chip.
Well,
that's a big one. The Yankees are always in rumors there, but where's he go?
Herman Marquez. I mean, the Rockies said they're not trading him.
The Rockies are idiots.
Look, I agree with you, because we've gone over this before on ITL, and I think on this show, that the Rockies are in a worse spot than the Diamondbacks. Like,
the Rockies need to do what the Twins are about to do. Like, just anybody with the pulse, go.
Yeah, they don't have a ton of major league talent. They do have some, of course. Marquez, Blackman, Story, McMahon is great. John Gray is really good too. So they have a handful of guys, but their system is fairly empty too. I remember looking over it, and a bunch of people had them rated really, really low as far as minor league systems overall go. So you're in a bad spot in the bigs. You can't also be in a bad spot in the minors. That is a terrible spot to be in, because that's what we saw, the Astros in for a decade, the Padres in for the last 15 years before, the last two seasons. So those are really, really bad spots to be in. And that's where you start having fans really drop off. You're bad for a decade with no hope in sight. That's a bad spot to be in. So Colorado, it would be really smart for them to trade Marquez this year to get an absolute haul for him. I think that would be really smart.
Doesn't he have another year left on his deal or something? He's cheap. He's affordable.
I'll look it up, but
for some reason I feel like he does, but I could be wrong. But he'd get a great haul. Like, if you can't get Scherzer, I think Marquez might be one of the better options out there personally, if you can go get it. So I think he'd be one to definitely attract and fill up some team needs. So the Rockies would be smart to do it all, since all they got is fucking baseballs.
He's got an option on 2020 till 2024.
They can get a ridiculous haul for him if they wanted to.
They should do it right now. Sink to the bottom. I mean,
just because it's a pitcher. Like, the next pitch could be the last one. You never know with these guys. So get him while he's hot. Like, have some fun, man.
I understand, like, if the Rockies thought they were in line to compete in the NL West in the next couple of years, to not trade him, because it's hard to get free agents to come to Colorado. You have to draft and develop and do all that good stuff. And, it's just not something they've been doing recently, specifically with pitching. So I understand the internal thought to keep him. But if you're going to be bad for a long time, you can spend all your picks on pitchers. We've already seen it happen. The Angels did it this year. The Dodgers use 17 picks on pitchers. So you gotta start moving. But we'll obviously hit the trade deadline harder next week as we approach the actual deadline. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got some NFL stuff to go over. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this in this league on the Sports Grid.
Hey.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
littering and...
littering and smoking the...
In this league.
Break it down.
Welcome back, everybody. In this league on the Sports Grid, get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm joined by Casey Bubba at BDNTrick on the Twitter machine. We've got some NFL to talk here, Bub, and this was interesting. We know, obviously, it's been contentious between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Everybody knows that. Brady, first of all, Brady with his jokes recently. What is he doing? He was getting on Aaron Rodgers, and then at the White House, he had a weird one. I couldn't tell what was happening. Like, was he giving Biden an actual hard time, or was he thinking it was open mic night at the White House? Like, is he trying to just make the funniest joke he could? He said, what did he say? Like 40% of the world still doesn't think we won or something, yep. Or the yep. Country, I mean, still doesn't think we won.
He's basically making a joke about like how Biden and him have a lot in common.
Right. So it was a strange one. I did like Biden saying, hey, I can understand that. So I thought it was pretty quick, you know, funny thing for Biden to say in that scenario, you know, not talking about politics at all. I just thought it was funny. I just like, what is Brady doing? Does he think he's going to go host a Comedy Central show when he's done with the NFL or something? So it's a lot of dad jokes coming from him. So him and PZP would get along great. Same dumb dad jokes constantly. It would be they'd be right there in line. So nothing on that, Bub. Look at you.
I'm waiting for you to finish because I love those dad jokes. Like, I'm loving all of this. Like, this is the Tom Brady World Tour. This is the Vindication Tour. Look at me now. I'm not a Patriot, so y'all can love me. Tour. That's
okay, Brady. But hold on, real quick. Yeah. Do you love the dad jokes, or do you love them because I hate them?
I really appreciate most of them, okay. Regardless of your thoughts. It might make them. I might make me enjoy them even more, knowing how much you hate them. Okay. But I do love, like, the 40% one. I'm like, whatever, that was kind of stupid. But he's had a lot of good ones, like the jabbing back and forth with Rodgers was fun. And I thought that was good, especially since I like Rodgers so much. So that's been entertaining watching that back and forth, like all the way back to the match and stuff that we've done there. And Brady just doesn't care. That's the beauty of it.
I like that he's smiley, dude. Like, I would much rather have, you know, that's old Jim.
He's loving life.
Yeah,
like, why wouldn't he? He was so hammered drunk on that boat trip. Like, they had to carry him out. Like,
he's a seven-time Super Bowl champion with a model wife who's makes more money than him.
I was about to say makes more money than him. I got stories on that, but that's a different show. Like, I know people that know that situation. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it's who is living a better life than Tom Brady? He should
not
be
many.
Happy.
Not many
but,
people.
But it's just like every time I see him, like even on Instagram, I saw him on a reel. He was doing ad for some dumb energy drink or something, or you know, maybe not energy, some drink, I don't know what it was, but he took a sip of it, he picked up a football, and you know, it was daytime and the moon was out, and he threw the ball in the direction of the moon and it hit the moon and exploded it, right? Like, you know, all those graphics and everything. And I was just like, who thinks this is cool? You know, like, he's the only one, because he's such a hard worker, he doesn't have time to know what's funny and what's not. So he's throwing it at the wall and seeing what people think is funny. I feel like, because even he had his son and a couple other of his buddies he was throwing passes to, and he's calling him Welker and then Amendola, you know, and then Edelman. Right. So I thought that was funny too, but it's like everything he does, he's trying to make a joke, which look, I appreciate that much more than trying to troll people. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just weird seeing, like, all right, Tom Brady, you don't get to be super successful, have a hot wife, and leave the funny to the fat guys. Okay. But let's stick it there. And I have no appreciation for dad jokes. So
he's got everything. He's got it all, and it sucks. Like, you just sound jealous. So
I'm 100,000% jealous of Tom Brady. Who isn't? Yeah. So
I know it's amazing. It's amazing. I'm just glad he's not a Patriot anymore, so I can appreciate him now. Like, when he's a Patriot, he just, everything he does and says is evil to me. So this is so much better, and I'm appreciating it all, and I'm looking forward to this season because he's just living life. And I, like, now that we're actually gonna have like press conferences and stuff potentially, it's gonna be just an electric factory.
I mean, it's so crazy to me that Tom Brady walked into Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay had a good team; they're not bad, obviously. They had really good defense, and they're a team that for a while people had said they're a quarterback away. They're just Jameis isn't gonna get it done. QB away, and they were literally, I don't know if they were a QB away or if they were a Tom Brady away, but you know, because I don't know if Drew Brees could have stepped in there and won a championship with them or anybody else on the planet, really. But it was unbelievable to see in a year where a new quarterback walks into a team, doesn't get any preseason, gets barely any practice time, and takes his team to the Super Bowl. I mean, I know they're 7-5 at one point and then really clicked after a bunch of practices and all that stuff, but it's still crazy to see, and we'll never see anything like that.
No, you'll never see anything like it again. Cause even like guys like Manning rocked into Denver, it was set up in a different scenario and they just kind of did their thing. It was totally different.
And it took them 2 years.
Yeah.
So, right. You know,
like Brady just, and you know what the crazy thing is, I think we've talked about it before, especially after he gets his knee fixed, they're the favorites again. And for very good reasons, cause they've gotten better. It feels like it's going to be scary watching them this year because part of their division's gotten worse and they've gotten better. So I know the defending champions always have that tough schedule because he's basically the best of the best in each division. So that always makes it a little different. But, hey, Brady's done that before, so I'm not too worried about that either.
Did you see Bruce Arians' face at the White House? I mean, he did that dude, I don't think he spends a second indoors. Like, no, he must be out on a boat.
He's loving life, man. Like, he lives down there in Florida, fishing on his boat. He's just like these guys. I'm telling you, Tampa Bay's a vibe, man. It's a vibe. Like, let's go win. Let's go put our work in and then go mess around, do whatever we want. Like, as long as you come in, put your work in, punch in, punch out, go do what you want. Like, it's a good life.
Yeah, that's the people don't like Florida, man. And I know there's a bunch of crazy people that live there. But if you're doing it right, it's fun, man. It's a good time, Florida. I've only been to Florida a couple times, but I've never had a bad time.
I was gonna say, I've always had a great time when I've gone to Florida.
Exactly.
And I don't even have the money, the funds, the resources that these guys have on their hands.
Of course.
I can only imagine. Literally, you know, you might put in 10, 12 hours certain days, but that day off, you go get on your little pontoon boat or whatever boat, your little mini yacht, whatever the heck you got. And poof, like the stuff you can do, enjoy, my friend.
You do whatever you want in Florida.
It's like the movie Ballers. It's like the movie or the TV show Ballers. Yeah. Those guys had the yachts there on their days off. Like,
no. Dexter had his boat. You know what I mean?
Different like, boat. Different
you
boat.
Can do whatever you want.
Different strokes for different folks. Yes.
In Florida, for sure. It's great. I mean, we started out this talking about Aaron Rodgers, though. And of course, I took us down a weird rabbit hole, which is what we do at ITL.
I'm easy to lead that way, so it's okay.
Of course, yeah. But the Aaron Rodgers turned down, we find out now that he turned down, it was a 2-year deal, but it would have made him the highest paid quarterback on an annual basis in the NFL. He turned that down, which says a lot. You know, it says that he clearly doesn't want to be there any longer than he has to be. I still am under the mindset of he comes to camp once it opens next week, and he's in there and he's not getting traded. I mean, with my luck and specifically on this show, the day and a half in between when we record this and when it goes up, he will definitely be traded. But I think he's still going, but that speaks volumes, turning down that money in Green Bay. What do you think about that?
I agree. I don't think he gets traded. And I think he goes to Green Bay. I think he shows up and plays. I think what he's doing, though, by turning that deal down, because he's making a point saying it's not about the money for me. We need to change things in this way this things run. I think that's what it is. Like he's not happy. We've talked about for good reason he shouldn't be happy with the draft picks and this, that, and the other. So I think his whole point is it's like, hey, you look at all these other big time quarterbacks, the Bradys, the Mannings, all these guys, the ownership listens to the quarterback and respects what the quarterback wants and makes these things happen. He's never had that to the same level, and he's earned that. I think he's an MVP for crying out loud. Like he's won a Super Bowl. He's at least earned a seat at the table. Like, you don't have to listen to everything he says, but he at least earns a seat at the table of like, hey, is wide receivers available, should we go get him or something like that. I think that's all he wants. I think he's trying to make a point to these guys that, hey, I'm a little more powerful than you guys think I am, and people do actually like me more than you think they do. we need to sit and talk about things. Like, this is more than just, you know, you guys come in here and make some money off of this. This is a football team, and I am the head of the monster. And if this thing doesn't run properly, you guys are all screwed. And there's a reason why Devontae Adams hasn't signed his cover sheet yet either. Like, he's waiting for Rodgers to show, but I don't blame Adams one bit for that.
No.
So that's the other domino effect there. It's like Rodgers is pretty much going, hey, look at this. He's still not coming either. So if you don't have either one of us, how's this going for you this year? You want to go 0-2 to the Bears, 0-2 to the Lions, 0-2 to the Vikings? Because you will without both of us. Like, it's going to happen. So let me know how that tastes. What's that taste in your mouth? What's going on there?
It's so true, dude. It's so true. And I'm sure there's some rule against it or whatever, but wouldn't it be hilarious if Aaron Rodgers was just like out there buying up shares of the Packers to eventually try to get
he only needs like one or two shares and he could get the vote from every other owner there probably
like
he can walk into that room and be like, okay guys, I got a deal for you,
things are gonna change, right? Yes. Yeah,
you guys want a ring? We can make it happen,
but you got to put me in charge now. It's the timing that's the issue. But, you know, look, Aaron Rodgers is a surefire Hall of Famer, first ballot, all that good stuff. But they're doing some weird stuff with the Hall of Fame this year, because we're going to have the 2020 inductees do their speeches and go in. We're going to have 2021 do their speeches and go in separate days, but they're limiting the Hall of Fame speeches, which I find surprising. And I know Peyton Manning had a comment, you know, because I think Tony Gonzalez has the longest one. It was like 39 minutes. Jeez. Like, some of them are very long. Michael Irvin's was very long as well. But I mean, look, if there's one time for an NFL player to be self-indulgent, it is at the Hall of Fame speech. So I don't know. And I know specifically for viewing and all this stuff that people get speech fatigue this week, you know, a couple weekends from now when it happened. But I thought it was very, very surprising. I'm sorry if you can hear that. It is, the wind is going nuts over here right now. But what do you think about them limiting the speeches?
It makes sense. You hit on the reason why I think they're doing it is the TV viewing. Like, that's the whole thing. We need eyes on the screen. And if you start throwing 30 to 40 minute speeches out there, guys are going to disappear real quick. There's a reason why I don't watch many of them. I always watch the clips on Twitter or on NFL Network later on. I don't need to sit through it all. But I also agree with you. It's like, these guys, this is like the pinnacle. Like, you hit your mark, you get the floor. Like, do what you got to do. Like, don't take an hour and a half. But, hey, you want 40 minutes? Go for it. You've earned that right. We gave you the yellow jacket. Go get a gold jacket, whatever they call it. Go for it.
Gold jacket, green jacket. Yeah.
Who gives it? Yeah. But I agree. It's like one of those. They probably don't need that much time. They're all having after parties. They can give speeches there to people that really want to sit and listen. At the same time, anybody that's in that crowd, they came there knowing what they came there for. They're sitting there getting drunk and partying, and then they sit in quietly and listen to their person. So I'm fine with letting them talk as long as they want. I get while they're doing it at the same time, but it's one of those things, like NFL, there's probably more important things to worry about than the time of the Hall of Fame game or Hall of Fame speeches. But hey, I'm not going to worry about it because I wasn't going to tune in anyways.
Do you have a favorite Hall of Speech?
No, I barely ever watch them. I just watch clips. Like, I remember when Marino got inducted in I think it was Cooper or Clayton. They ran a route for him in the stand in the crowd, and he threw a pass to him. Like, that was kind of cool. But I could care less.
Yeah, I understand. I think one of my favorites is watching Michael Irvin. I thought he had one of the best Hall of Fame speeches of all time. But it's interesting.
Sale's daughter was good.
There have been that are super cool, but I didn't, honestly, before reading a couple things, I had no idea that Tony had the longest speech, minutes or whatever it was. So, and I don't even know the record. I think that's what I saw though, but interesting that they're trying to limit. And I love Peyton's comment, who he said, if Alan Faneca wants to talk longer than 8 minutes, good luck telling him he needs to go. Oh, you know, I'm sure the Hall of Fame has security guards, but Matt Faneca off his feet. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll end out the 3-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
in this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
You guys hear Endless Love. You know what that means. It's the end of the three-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. Sorry about my end of that last segment. Wind got real crazy here, and I know I chopped up a little bit. But, Bubba, we're going to have Eli and Peyton doing an alternate broadcast for Monday Night Football. I think they're going to do 10 games a year for the next 3 years. I could have distribution across the other Disney platforms as well. But they're going to have like celebrities and they're going to have guest appearances and all kinds of stuff during the game. Is this something that interests you, or is anything not a traditional call annoying to you?
This interests me quite a bit. It's like one thing I've talked about with some of the podcasts I like now is when we get the actual like players on these shows to talk about things, not just analysts that think they're players. Peyton and Eli have a great rapport as it is. Obviously not just because they're brothers, they're funny, they're knowledgeable. Yeah. Like, they're good, so I'll listen to them anyways.
I would say that the brothers on TV, though. The other guys.
Yeah, because, like, you got Peyton and Koopa are already – they have that other show already, which is really, really good, the slick, the game show between colleges. And now you throw Eli in the mix, which is great. I'm all for that. Plus, you put the celebrity angle to it. They'll have some dumb celebrities on there. Like, Peyton will bring Brad Paisley on, of course. He won't know what he's doing. Like, you can't pick a college game. What's he going to know about NFL? But they will get some players too. Like, you know, they'll throw some guys on there that'll be awesome. Some, like, you know, Strahan will obviously come on because that's Eli's guy. But they'll have other players, if you know what I mean, that'll be really, really good to have on. Like Drew Brees, once he retires, he'll be on that show. He'll make a guest appearance. Stuff like that, which will be great. I think it's interesting that ESPN's doing it because it kind of clashes with their normal broadcast. But I think they realize their normal broadcast has sucked for the last few years because they keep changing how they're doing it. So let's go with this and see how it works for a smaller sample of games. And maybe after 3 years, we go, hey, this is what we want full time. So I think it's a very, very interesting way to do it, to test the waters out, to see how it goes. Even though it'll affect their viewership, it's still on their platform. So they still are fine in that regard. And Disney can stream it on all their stuff and make more money that way, because the Disney Plus was starting to lose some traction after The Mandalorian. So you got that going for them too.
Right. Well, look, that is going to wrap it up for us today. We will see you guys next week. We hope you all have a great weekend. Remember, you can find us on Twitter at Bogman Sports for me, at BD Entrick for Bubba, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. Have a great weekend, and we will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.